And we are live. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I'm one of your co-hosts, Blake Ruffino. Alongside me is my counterpart and co-host, Joe DeLeon. I was only gone for a day, but it feels like I've been gone for an entire week. Joe DeLeon, Blake Ruffino, welcome back. We were only gone for a day, but we're never really live on a Tuesday, but yet here we are. As Big Ten Media Days kicks off today. Good evening, good sir. How are you?
I'm doing good. The Tuesday show kind of, it was the nice little reminder that the season's right around the corner, because I was thinking to myself, I'm like, oh, we're going to be doing these in like 4 weeks. No, season starts in 6 weeks.
I don't know if we don't go. No, I mean, Joe, I mean, camp started today for week zero teams.
Hey, I'll do the Tuesday show as soon as you want to.
completely fine with me. I mean, all I know is we were just texting Adam Stanko. You better get that checkbook ready. I'm just kidding. No, not really. But regardless of that, I mean, I'm cool with it. But Joe, we are. I mean, with all due respect for everybody playing in week one, camp opens a week from tomorrow.
Which is nuts. In the NFL, the pads are popping already in the NFL. I mean, dude, this is the best time of year.
It is.
It's kind of weird. Like, obviously, football season is the best time of year, but the excitement where it's like Christmas Eve.
Yes.
And the feeling that it's about to be Christmas, that's kind of what this chunk of time feels like.
Can I tell you, everybody starts getting nervous because of all the off-season BS they've been talking. You notice how everybody's like,
well, you know, they could do this. They got a lot that they have to overcome.
Okay. Okay. Now that pen's going to paper, you're being careful. But I got to be honest with you about something. I know one media member that's going to laugh at me saying this. Hey, guys, not everybody can make the playoff. Okay. I'm seeing all of y'all's projections that are out there in the media. You can't have 14, 10, and 2 plus teams. It doesn't work that way, okay? The math doesn't math. Joe, I'm seeing these projections from everybody, and they got 97, 10, and 2 teams. I'm like, your math's not mathing. Not everybody can make the playoffs, my man.
I bet I can figure out a way to.
Oh, you know exactly who it is. I'm just saying your math.
No, I'm saying I bet I could. If I wasted a whole day, I could probably sit there and find some sort of way, maybe to get everyone to like 9-3.
No, the math doesn't math in 9-game conference schedules. You can't do it.
I was tinkering around with. I've been doing some like preseason record predictions, and I did one for the SEC, and I like went through, I literally went and picked every single game. There is a possibility that you could have 3 10-2 teams, an 11-1 Georgia team, and a 12-0 Texas team. So you could have 5.
Yeah, but here's the problem with that. Okay. The problem with that is that the Big Ten, you got to account for them. You got to account for Miami. You got to account for Notre Dame. You got to account for who's going to come out the Big 12. You got to account who's coming out of the G6. Not all of those teams are making the playoff. I mean, we've already
seen. Oh, I know that. I know that. I'm more so saying you could have.
Right.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying. You can't have that many playoff. I mean, because, look, I don't mean this in any kind of way. This is not a shot at Notre Dame. Outside of getting absolutely their doors blown off by Miami, they're going to a playoff.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sorry. Like, you know, if there's like, I was asked. So, Joe, me and my wife went out, you know, for a day, came back. I was asked, like, hey, what was your number one thing going into the season that you're the most confident about? You're going to be proud of me. You ready? I said, Notre Dame makes the playoffs. I mean, I just don't know.
That's the only answer.
Well, because their schedule is so soft, and that's not a shot at them. Their schedule is very soft. I expect them to beat the dog manure out of everybody. And then we'll see what happens when they get to that Miami game. And God forbid they go 11-1. You're going to keep them out? Like, are you going to – there's no plausible, like, situation where that happens. I even think that if they play well enough, depending on who their schedule is, if they go 10-2, depending on who on their schedule may or may not be good in the ACC, you never know. Like, so that's my whole thing, is that we're not accounting for how many – and this is the parity part you talk about, which is what Bielema was kind of trying to mention, but he completely demolished it. We'll talk about Bielema. But I think that's what he was talking about more than anything, is that there's a lot of teams that believe that they can get it in there. So, I mean, not every team can go 10-2, and not every team's going to make the college football playoff. With that being said, we got a lot that we need to get to. Speaking of Notre Dame and Ohio State, Joe, big deals coming for Notre Dame. Do you find it weird that Notre Dame's got a student loan patch on their jersey?
I don't find it weird, but I do find it – it couldn't be more on the nose that one of the earliest – brand deals is with a student loan company. It's funny. It's very funny that's how it worked out.
It is. Ohio State signs with Chase on the jersey patch and a $17 million for all sports deal. We'll get to that. Tony Petitti was at Big Ten Media Days. We will discuss all the things that he had to say there as well. Brett Bielema said the SEC wants to say in 2005, I guess they'll just not take the other 11 national titles they got in between there. They just want to stay in that specific time frame. We'll get to that as well. And North Carolina has a nightmare on their hands. They have a complete nightmare on their hands. We'll get into that all here tonight. So do us a favor, hit the like and share. Subscribe down below if you're on YouTube. Share with the YouTube link on Twitter, Facebook, wherever, Instagram. I don't even know if Instagram lets you do it. Regardless, share the show. Help us grow the show. Subscribe down below. Make sure that you are and hit that notification bell as well. Wherever you listen to podcasts, rate, review, and subscribe. And if you're watching on 24/7 Sports on Twitter, hit that retweet button as well. Before we get rolling, we need to talk about our partners over at 24/7 Sports. So much is going on in recruiting, and the season is here. With that being said, you need to join the growing community over at 24/7 Sports by using that promo code RJ60 at checkout. You'll receive 60% off of your annual VIP membership when you do so. With camp and the season fastly approaching for all of the teams in college football, 24/7 Sports has you covered for every single little detail. Go over to 24/7 Sports, get your promo code RJ60 to get 60% off of your annual VIP membership. All right, Joe, let's get into it because we got a lot that we need to touch on here. Big Ten Media Days did start today, but arguably the biggest news coming out of it was not Tony Petitti's thoughts or the stuff surrounding the Protect College Sports Act, which I'm sure that you and I will get into a lot tomorrow with the deadline that has been set by Cruz and Cantwell. It was the Ohio State $17 million Chase deal along with Notre Dame, which was around $20 million a year for the SoFi patch. What are your thoughts, you know, on teams continuing to do this to draw a sponsorship deal with a patch on the jerseys? Joe, I would be remiss if I didn't say that LSU took a massive beating for being the first team to do this, because trust me, I was there when they were taking this beating, and now a lot of teams are doing this. Joe, I got to be real with you. I said it then for LSU. I'm going to say this for Ohio State. I'm going to say it for Notre Dame. They have $20 million that's missing. From $20 million in TV rev is cut from them. They got to go replace it. So you have Notre Dame in a SoFi deal for $20 million. You have Chase Bank doing it with Ohio State. You got Woodside Energy for LSU. And there are so many other deals that have been passed. I just think that this is the smartest thing ever, because it's helping them get to where back to where they were. What are your overall thoughts on this and these teams like Ohio State with Chase and Notre Dame with SoFi doing these patches on all of their athletic jerseys?
Yeah, I think first of all, people need to stop complaining about this. I felt like that was a lot of the discourse today was, oh, this looks terrible. And ironically, there's this one burner Notre Dame account that always puts out fake information. And it was really funny after the Ohio State announcement came out. Yeah, he quote tweeted and was like, Notre Dame would never do this. And then an hour later, I read that. I'm like, oh, they're going to announce soon. Why do I know that Notre Dame is going to drop their jersey patch like right after? And lo and behold, the news about SoFi came out. Anyone acting like their team is too good for a jersey patch is being incredibly naive. This is an industry that is fueled by the teams that are armed the most by their resources, by the financial resources that they have available to them. College athletics are some of the most valuable brands in America, in American sports. There are programs in the country that are more valuable than low-level NBA teams, MLB teams. Capitalizing on the fact that big brands want to sponsor these athletic departments, it is the next wave for these programs, these schools, being able to keep up with the times. We talk so much about financial issues. This is a crap load of money. We're not talking about like a little bit of bread. We're talking about a lot of money here that is going to go towards football primarily, and then the rest of the athletic department. Like, this is huge for Ohio State. It's huge for Notre Dame. They're going to be equipped to do what it takes to stay up with the top programs in college athletics. I am curious who's going to be the next crazy deal. Is somebody going to come out with a $25 million deal? Is that what is going to be the next announcement after this?
I don't know about that, because to really interrupt you, the biggest one right now is the New York Yankees at $25 million with Star Insurance. The only reason I know that is obviously I'm a massive Yankees fan. So that's the biggest one right now. But it should tell you the brand of Notre Dame alone when you have the New York freaking Yankees and then Notre Dame being $5 million per year below that. Sorry to interrupt you, but to give the context of the biggest one, you have the New York Yankees that is the number one, arguably, Joe, a top three team in all three sports, and theirs is at $25 million. Now, they're only one specific team to one specific sport, but just to give you an idea of the reference of like what Star Insurance did for the New York Yankees.
I think that's good context. I wonder if like maybe a Texas, which is Ohio State and Texas are often regarded as the two most valuable brands.
You think Buc-ee's would do Texas or Texas A&M?
But that would be pretty sick, man. I'd be fired up for that. Like, the real takeaway with this, though, we talked about this. Brett Yormark is a doofus.
Come
the forward. Fact that he orchestrated the deal that he did for Monster Energy in the Big 12, and not only was he undersold on this, he was comically undersold the Big 12. $20 million for every single school, about $1 million per school. You're telling me that Kansas basketball isn't worth more than $1 million? How the hell did he evaluate that deal the way that he did? You're telling me that the Big 12 doesn't have a finance department that's not responsible with building models for understanding projections for how much every single brand collectively is worth? We said this during our criticism of that announcement, Blake. This is all the evidence that we need that pooling media rights is a mistake. Because not everybody, first of all, is capable of effectively negotiating these deals. But on top of this, the lower values of most of college football are not going to match what the SEC and the Big Ten and Notre Dame bring to market. And because of that, it is going to create a very unhealthy negotiation between the big brands and the conferences that don't have those big brands. At the end of the day, this is just another reminder that there's a stark separation between the top of the sport and, I guess, the middle of the sport or the lower level Power Four teams. Yormark completely screwed his conference, and they could be falling behind because of it.
All right. We do have some breaking news here, by the way. Sorry. Great. Multiple breaking news stories. Ole Miss has sued Prince Wu-Mamyelen and Devin Harper for breach of contract, by the way. With that being said, going to the Big 12, okay, the Big 12 teams, like BYU still has a patch, so teams can still do this, okay? Teams can still, in the Big 12, have their own individualized patches. However, Joe, how many teams in the Big 12 do you have? How many teams in the Big 12 do you have? And you're only selling it for about around $1 million per team? Like, that is a joke. But here's the thing, Joe, you're doing it for all athletics. Like, you have Houston, that's a massive market. You have Colorado, that is a massive market when you look at overall sports. You have Texas Tech that, well, at least you tell me, Joe, that they tell us all the time that they have a massive market, right? Do you? Because Notre Dame, LSU, and Ohio State all came out and said, no, not really. No, not really. Woodside Energy, Chase, and SoFi said, yeah, no, not really. No, you don't. And with all due respect to the Big 12, and this isn't supposed to be a Big 12 segment, really, but it has to turn into, look, they can still have it for their own individualized teams, but that Big 12 monster patch is still going to be on there too. It's a joke. We said it then. I'll say it again now. When they announced that, you're basically telling everybody, especially, and this was the dumbest part of all of it, you're telling everybody and giving Greg Sankey, you're giving Tony Petitti the right to come out here and say, what did you say about pulling TV rights? We would do what exactly? Like, what do you want us to do? Do you not just see what just happened with LSU, with Ohio State, and with Notre Dame? Joe, NBC's not moving away from Notre Dame. The SEC is not going to move away with the – or ESPN's not going to move away from the SEC. Fox and CBS isn't going to move away from the Big Ten. Look at what they do. Like, this is the thing that I think bothers me the most. And I am a – I get a part of this too. So I am a part of this problem as well. So many times we fight about the SEC versus the Big Ten. It's not the fight that we need to have. The fight that needs to be had, and especially on the way that college athletics is happening, is the fight between the SEC and the Big Ten combined and Notre Dame. Let's throw Notre Dame in there, right? Like, I mean, I don't want to exclude them. And Notre Dame versus the other conferences. What are you talking about, a pulling of media rights in the Protect College Sports Act? Like, how is that even plausible? How do you not see these deals? SoFi is going to give $20 million for all of Notre Dame athletics? What is Notre Dame good? I get you're going to say lacrosse. But in the big three, hockey. What is – okay, hockey's not – I mean
– women's basketball.
Okay, no, they're not. But
they were a national championship winning program for many years. Don't question me on that. Yeah, don't question
okay,
me on
they
that.
They were, but – I, with all due respect to women's basketball, it ain't bringing in the views like the other, like the big three. And you know that that's the truth. It isn't. It will in tournament time, not in the regular season. The point that I'm trying to make here is look at the deals that they're signing. This is a football generated deal. And the main thing about this is you have teams like Ohio State, LSU, and Notre Dame. Look at the relief that they are getting by signing these deals when you have a house settlement case. That's the biggest thing versus the Big 12 saying, we got $1 million for all of our teams. You got how many teams are in the Big 10? 18? I mean, Big 12, 18, 16, 15, whatever it is.
Why do I not know that? I think it's 16.
Okay, so you got $16 million. Ohio State as an individualized school is worth your entire conference. The value of Ohio State is worth your entire conference. That's what just got told to everybody around the world. I hate to make this a Big 12 segment because of Ohio State and what Notre Dame did, but it is equivalent to what we have just seen.
I think that that is the correct framing on this because, and it's, I don't want this to be construed as us saying that the ACC and the Big 12 are holding back college football. That's not what we're saying. The Big 12 specifically, very, very specifically, Cody Campbell, have been at the forefront of the Protect College Sports Act. This all ties into everything because it's about the business of the sport, the future of the sport, all those things. Cody Campbell has been an advocate and the leader for this bill. And one of the biggest things that has not been removed is the damn pooling of media rights. And he did all these ads and all these statements about how the pooling of media rights, amending the Sports Broadcasting Act, all these things are best for the future of the sport. It's not what's best for the future of the sport. It's what's best for Texas Tech. It's what's best for these mid to low level Power 4 programs that desperately need it to somehow just slightly get a little bit closer to the already gigantic gap that has been created. Not every single team is meant to be successful. That's the reality that nobody wants to admit. Not every single team is meant to be successful. Many teams do not put the effort forward necessary to be able to produce a competitive team. And that's the reality that nobody wants to admit. They think it's all sunshine and rainbows and everybody needs to, you know, share and care for one another, that everything needs to be okay. There's a gigantic gap. And you can't trust the instincts of the Big 12, specifically, if this is the deal that they just produced, the equivalent of the value of what Notre Dame just signed, supposed to be $20 to $18 million, is what you signed for the entire conference. One school, as you just stated, Blake, is worth the same value as your entire conference that you clamor for is up to the same level of competition as the rest of the country. Blake, it's really troubling that anybody would believe and feel like the Big 12, and specifically Brett Yormark, are capable of understanding what is in the best interest of everybody else. And it's why many people might have been upset over the Big 10 and the SEC stamping their feet and saying, we want the Protect College Sports Act to go our way. The reality is that they should have been the ones that were come to first to lead the forefront of what that bill was supposed to look like, because they're the ones who understand what the sport is turning into. Everybody else is behind, and nobody wants to admit it.
No, they don't. And again, with all due respect, I'm not trying to bring the Protect College Sports Act into this.
I think it has to be brought into it.
Okay, but just hear me out. Ross Dellinger is reporting that Tony Petitti is telling him that the Big Ten and the SEC are working through, quote unquote, working through language details. I know my camera's all messed up.
Your phone. Really,
but with that being, I'm trying to make sure this Devin Harper thing gets, and Prince will think it's announced. Anyway, with all of that being said, Joe, you're in a situation where Ross Dellinger is being told by Tony Petitti that they're in a situation with the SEC that the language, yeah, they changed it a little bit. They didn't change it a lot. So in the growing landscape, Joe, there's a very strong chance that doesn't get passed. So these teams are going to need every single little resource that they can have.
I'm curious to see if those, I know this is kind of tangential, but I'm curious to see if those amendments with that announcement today, that they're kind of compromising on the requests of the Big Ten and the SEC. I wonder if those changes are going to be satisfactory. I guess we'll find out.
Well,
horrible timing.
Here's what I don't like. What I don't like about the Protect College Sports Act right now is that they're determining that they have to make a decision by 9 a.m. tomorrow. We've been waiting for how long, and you're trying to force a decision upon them?
Yeah.
Now, Petitti came out today, and we'll get to this, but Petitti came out today and said he would have rathered going with Tommy Tuberville's bill. Like, that was from the words of Tony Petitti that he would have rathered backed the bill of Tommy Tuberville because it was simplistic. And yet you're trying to determine that politics are getting in the way. We've been waiting for this for how long? We can't wait until the fall. Why can't we wait until the fall? Like, why can't we just get this thing right? And so in the overchanging landscape of them trying to have equality and bringing in equality, literally this stupid jersey patch should have told Ted Cruz, who it seems as if that he's backing Cody Campbell, Maria Cantwell, who seems that they are backing the lower tiered schools. How do you not see today? And it doesn't like just ring off bells that Notre Dame, Ohio State, LSU, and all these other teams are bigger. How does it not show you one team, actually two? Two teams showed you that they're equivalently of the equivalent of what they do is the entire Big 12's conference. How? Like, I will wait. So when we talk about there are problems, I'm glad that Tony Petitti and, for its worth, Greg Sankey kind of came together and said, listen, we got to be on the same page. The playoff is the playoff, and we can have our disagreements on the playoff. This has nothing to do about the playoff. This has everything to do with we're being attacked, and we have to stand firm together. And they better stand firm together, but I just don't know how you look at this and say, Ohio State just signed a $17 million deal, Notre Dame just signed a $20 million a year deal, and the Big 12 is sitting there like, but we signed something. We did good, right? It's a joke.
You just kind of led in the next topic, though, because I think that the comments by Petitti on Greg Sankey, I mean, that was a little bit under the radar, but I mean, you just hit on it. If we want to move over to
us. Yeah, let's do it.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. TNCs apply.
So Petitti did bring you what you just said. I thought was like the perfect lead in for this was that they highlighted, Tony Petitti highlighted, despite everybody just immediately assuming that it is a battle between the Big Ten and the SEC going on right now, that they're constantly at odds with one another. It's like a wrestling drama. It is something that is being built up by the viewers. We're buying into it. As entertaining as it is to talk about it, to have that discourse, it's not what the reality is. I've alluded to the fact that, you know, I've read, there's books that I've read about like the current state of college athletics, and it's been referenced that Sankey really likes and respects Petitti. They both really like and respect one another. The fact that they don't just automatically align on everything that they're doing is probably for the best, because it means that they're having healthy discourse. It leads to a lot of stalemates that we're undergoing at the current moment.
What are they really arguing over, though? Like, can I just
interrupt?
The playoff. So what? Here's what they're really only arguing over. ESPN versus Fox.
That's, yeah.
That's their biggest disagreement. Let's not act like that they're not aligned on everything else. I'm sorry. Let's pull the cover. Joel, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but this is BS. They are literally coming out here and saying, we agree on everything, huh? But we're going to fight in the open public, act like we don't like one another because our conference is winning three straight national titles and we're fighting over the playoff. The man went out there today, Joe, and said, I texted him five times this morning before 8 o'clock. Brother, I don't talk to my wife 8 times before 8 o'clock.
I don't talk to you 8 times in one day or 5 times in one day. I don't like. I'm serious. You and I have a close. We interact with each other every day. Yes,
but that's my point, though. To add to what you're saying, they're not really fighting. They are aligned on this, and that's the point I was trying to bring up. Sorry to interrupt you, but I mean, it's just so significant. What are they fighting over? The playoff. That's it. Name another.
And I think that he brought up the point too with the disagreement that they have. There hasn't not been efforts to collaborate on either side to work within the confines of either option, the 2014 playoff or the 16-team playoff. I mean, they've tried to align, but they're not on the same page. It's part of this negotiation process of trying to figure out what the new playoff model is going to look like. Here's the one thing, though, that Petitti talked about that I had my attention the most. And I think it's the one thing that people should be the most focused on. He was asked about SEC breakaway, secession, leaving the NCAA. And I thought that the context that he provided reframed it. And this is something that we discussed. Sankey's comments were, I believe, very aggressively misconstrued. I think a lot of people twisted it into being the SEC wants to leave and create their own league, and they don't want to talk to anyone and deal with anyone. They just want to go do their own thing. They're only going to compete for a championship in the SEC. Well, that was technically a part of the equation. What Petitti brought up is that it doesn't mean if they remove themselves from NCAA governance, it doesn't mean that they are not going to still compete with the rest of college football.
Right.
It might complicate them competing in NCAA postseason events, but
right.
Blake, they're still able to participate in the college football playoff. There's nothing stopping them from doing that. I think that there's more of a reality of this coming to fruition than people realize, and I don't think it's as detrimental as everybody assumes.
Well, hold on. He said that we have to be aligned together. Did you hear him? Look, if we're going to get to Tony Petitti, yeah. I thought the first two media days that he had, can we be honest, they were pretty trash.
Yep.
He was incoherent in what the points he was trying to get across. Today, he was not. Today, I felt like I saw a commissioner that was calm. I felt like I saw a commissioner that was confident. And he just told you the truth. He goes, do you really think that we're going to break away and ourselves and the SEC are going to be disassociated with one another? Which, what did Sankey really say to what your point was? Greg Sankey said that we would break away because of the enforcement. He didn't say anything else. He goes, we can't have governance and rules. He said governance. He didn't say anything else. So I don't know if there's a way that you can break away from just the enforcement part. What enforcement does the NCAA have anyway? So what are you really breaking away from? You're not really breaking away from anything. And Petitti said today that we would all have to come together as conferences to agree to one central standard, collective bargaining. Oh, he just didn't use the two big words of collective bargaining, that all the conferences would have to come together and agree on these simple principles and rules. It was a really smart way of Tony Petitti coming out and saying that if all of the conferences agree on this set of enforcements that you cannot break, Joe, do you know what that is? Do you know what that sounds like to me? It sounds like collective bargaining for the enforcement part. I'm not talking about revenue. I'm not talking about it. They're not worried about the Big Ten and the SEC are not worried about the revenue. The ACC and the Big 12 are worried about the revenue. That's why they wanted it in here. That's why they wanted it in Protect College Sports Act. So what did Petitti and Sankey say? We can't keep doing this. We can't keep having seven-year players in college football. We can't have it happen. Which, by the way, I don't know if y'all saw during the weekend, four players sued the NCAA and won.
Yep.
They won, so they get a sixth year of eligibility. And everybody's just like, oh, what about the five-for-five rule? Brother, it meant nothing. It meant nothing. It took a week for it to come crumbling down. A week for it to all come shattering down. They are in more of an alignment. This is what I learned today more than anything. They are more in alignment than anyone wants to give them credit for. We all try to put them. This is what I was talking about earlier. The Big Ten and the SEC, everybody wants to pit them against each other because it's on the field. They're not against each other off the field. They can argue about the playoffs until kingdom come. That's on the field issues. What they are talking about is off the field issues, enforcement, and everything that surrounds the enforcement into it. Now, Tony Petitti today also said that myself and Greg Sankey have got to read the language on the Protect College Sports Act. And he just told Ross Dellinger the same thing. Joe, the only thing that I learned today was, hey, listen, this is basically what Tony Petitti said in a nutshell. You ready? Listen, here's the truth. We talk to each other multiple times a day. We actually are more aligned than you think. We disagree on the playoff. Newsflash. We disagree on a playoff. Everybody knows it. You know it. Your grandmammy who wears a muumuu with no teeth, who says Roll Tide, knows it. Everybody knows it. Okay? But when it comes to everything else, name something that we are not aligned on. And the media sat there with their thumb up their ass because there wasn't another report, once he said that, that people started asking questions. What were the remainder of the questions to Tony Petitti? So wait, are you saying that the SEC and you are aligned? Joe, I tweeted this during the whole, I was like, how many questions are you going to ask about him and Greg Sankey being aligned? He can only say it so many times. He literally just told you it's the playoff in which we disagree. It's everything else that we agree on because we are pretty much the same exact conference other than where we see the direction of the sport on the field of college football going. So the bottom line here is I saw a commissioner the first 2 years who didn't know what to do. Today, I felt like he was calm, cool, and collected and was much better at getting his point across. Screw even though I disagree with him on the playoff, I think you do as well.
Yeah.
So what? That's not the part of what I'm worried about and what everybody that watches this show should be worried about. You know what all of us should be worried about? Where's the sport going? That's the real thing that you should be worried about. The playoff is going to be the playoff. It's going to expand. There's nothing we can do to stop it. But at the end of the day, we have got to get enforcement here so that you don't have schools, which Ole Miss just did, suing players on money that they never collected. Well, you have schools suing each other, Joe.
But right, that is, I mean, one of the million examples of litigation that is plaguing the sport at the current moment. And I think that the biggest problem in front of our faces, for everything that we could sit and yell about, you know, who gets into the college football playoff, which conference is better, which teams are better, all these little things, it was so dumb and problematic that the Protect College Sports Act, even if it was originally backed by Cody Campbell, whatever timeline it had for it coming to fruition, the fact that there was not early involvement from Sankey and from Petitti is what led to this getting to the 11th hour. And unless I'm misremembering, when this first came out, the first draft of it came out, Petitti and Sankey appeared to be pretty blindsided. They didn't feel like that this was a bill that was something that took into account their needs. Instead, it very specifically took into account the needs of the Big 12, the ACC, and the G6, which they do need protection, but it is overcomplicated everything when the more resolvable issues are the problems of prevention of litigation. Those are the things that need to be focused on right now. And based on Brandon Marcello's reporting, when he first delivered the draft that he got of the recent bill, it sounds like there's still uncertainty on if there are enough effective protections to prevent litigation from happening. That's the one thing that that's all the government needs to be involved with this crap. Like, seriously, they don't need their hands in the TV deals. They don't need their hands in the transfer portal. They don't need their hands in NIL deals, any of these things. Government intervention on that stuff is an extreme overreach. They are capable of preventing litigation and demanding an adherence to rules. Why is that not what the focus is? Why are we leaning to all this to be so convoluted? I'm hoping this doesn't get blown up, but that is kind of the side point with all this, is Petitti and Sankey are trying to work together, and seemingly everybody is against them instead of them being against one another.
The only other thing that I would add here, okay, if there is another breakaway, if we want to add in him talking about the playoff, okay, you lost me again. You were doing such a good job, and then you lost me. Please stop. With all due respect, you can say I'm an SEC homer. You can say whatever you want to about Blake Ruffino. Go ahead and say it. You're going to anyway. That is a joke. The him constantly harping on the playoff is a joke. Joe, he wants more Big Ten teams in. And I get as to why. He is pushing for his buddies in media to get different deals and expansion so that they can get playoff games and they can make more money. It has nothing to do, like, it for all the things and all the credit I just gave Petitti, understand that he is doing this in the main reason of he wants more money for his buddies, not necessarily overall the Big Ten, in my humble opinion. If there is something I do think he's crippling the sport on, it's that. Today he was asked the simple question, who wins the conference? Who's going to be the Big Ten champion?
I'm not going to answer that.
No, he did answer it. He did answer it. He goes, our goal is to win national titles. And he points to the three. Okay, sounds good, I guess. But you don't want to have a champion? How does your TV rights deal work for Fox or CBS or whomstever that you've signed through the next 10 years? Are they going to vacate it because they want playoff games? Do you have a side deal that we don't know about? Why doesn't somebody in the media ask Tony Petitti, then what happens to your contract with the Big Ten title game? That would really start clearing some things up. So the bottom line here is, if there is something I will always push back on him on, the playoff conversation that he keeps wanting to have is complete trash.
I don't disagree on the playoff stuff. I think that it's always been It has not made any sense to me, and the arguments to support it have been nonsensical. I'm glad that that wasn't the driving force of today's press conference, though.
I am too.
I'm glad that we got to other things, because it felt like last year that was all we talked about. It felt like the whole offseason that's all we talked about. And he very well could have gone up there and swung his arms around and talked about how the 2014 playoff and gave his new pitch for it. I'm glad that they didn't, because there's bigger issues at hand.
There is bigger issues at hand. And, you know, can we put this on the back burner? I'm being dead serious.
Yeah.
Can we put this on the back burner until we have college football and college athletics on a more smooth footing? Mm-hmm. Because let me tell you what's about, Joe, I'm going to tell you what's coming. Did you see, not to go back to it, did you see the amendment from Cruz and Cantwell today on the $25 million for a retention cap? They want $5 million to go to women's athletics. Let's say the Protect College Sports Act doesn't pass. Title IX is about to play a factor in this. You mark my words. These schools are about to get sued. And I'm going to tell you right now, the playoff is something that we have got to put on the back burner for now until we start getting on smoother footing. I don't mean this in a wrong way. I don't know how else to explain it. It's like when my dad teach me how to use guns, right? Like, he taught me the safety of it first before he ever let me fire a shot. Can we make sure that the safety of the sport is aligned with everything that needs to be aligned before we start firing shots, having no idea what we're doing? Because if you don't make sure that that is passed first and that we are on smooth ground and smooth footing, what happens? How are you going to reverse something if something catastrophic in that bill that we're not seeing right now gets passed? Like, and you want to go out there and continue to push playoff talk. I thought it was still a little too much. I mean, unless asked, which he wasn't really necessarily asked, but once, and he brought it up multiple times, I'm just like, listen, man, do you understand the ramifications if this gets passed and we have problems? It's not easy to just overturn a federal legislation.
No.
So, regardless. All right. Let's move forward here. Speaking of the Big Ten, Brett Bielema, well, he went viral today, Joe, mainly due to his remarks about the SEC and saying that the SEC wants to stay in the year of 2005. Obviously, that got people up in arms behind it. I'm going to let you kick it off first. What are your thoughts about Brett Bielema saying, and to the context of how he was saying it, that the SEC wants to stay in 2005?
Okay, look, Brett has been very mouthy. He has always been very mouthy about commenting on the SEC, and he's one of the few coaches that has the context of having been a head coach unsuccessfully in the SEC and successfully now twice in the Big Ten. It was a clear chirp. He is obviously not being very specific to the year 20 or 2005, but he's not wrong in the premise that he's presenting, Blake. He is not wrong because he elaborated on it when he was asked to expound on what he was getting at. His intent was to point out that back in 2005, but more specifically the 2010s, for a long stretch of time up until revenue sharing, NIL, the transfer portal, all of those things changed the sport. The SEC was the dominant conference, but more specifically, the SEC was led by a couple of juggernaut teams every single year. Those teams hoarded all of the talent. The depth front to back was ridiculous. It allowed for teams like Alabama and LSU, and then eventually Georgia was the last version of this, to cycle through multiple five stars that were seniors all the way down to freshmen, and all those guys would go on to play in the NFL and have pretty good NFL careers. His point that he brought up is now those guys don't get buried on rosters. They're available in the transfer portal. Those guys are willing to sign out of high school to different schools, not that often, but more frequently than in the past. And it has allowed for Bielema to produce a successful team at Illinois. I think that the whole point here is that instead of acknowledging that everybody else has caught up to the SEC, a lot of people in the SEC love to harp on the past and love to bring up what they did in the past and what they've done previously. I don't think that he's wrong for pointing out that the landscape has changed and that now the Big Ten has even the playing field and that they're able to produce more competitors than they did in the past. I don't think that that's a wrong statement for him to have put that out there. And I also think that he's right that the SEC constantly, despite being passed by the Big Ten, always has to bring up their history.
You're bringing up your history over the last 3 years. That's history.
Okay.
No, it's history.
But they're bringing, okay, the SEC brings up the context of their history in a different era of the sport.
All right,
I get that. Yeah, technically speaking, it is history.
Okay, can we roll through this very quickly? Okay. He said that since 2005, and basically the narrative is that teams in the SEC hoarded, and there was only a couple of teams at the top that did it, right? He said since 2005. That's interesting because there have been multiple teams that are in the SEC. There have been seven teams in the SEC since the year 2005 that have won national titles. Seven. How many in the Big Ten? Because Ohio State has majority of them. They're tied with LSU for second since 2003. So seven teams in the SEC have won national titles since 2005. So what specifically do you mean? There are more teams. Hold on. There are more teams in the SEC year in and year out that can win national titles than in the Big Ten. Okay? So stay with me here. You were an unsuccessful coach in the SEC. I get what you're saying, and I agree with what you're saying. The even playing field has given the ability for Ohio State, for Indiana, clearly, and for Michigan, which I don't even really fall Michigan into that because Michigan didn't hit the portal, Joe. Michigan is not a part of that, in my humble opinion. Do I think it hurt Alabama in the end of it, at the end of the Saban era? Yes, it vastly hurt Alabama to what they were doing. The last year under Nick was the worst team that he had. But please don't say that they want to stay in 2005 because, Joe, there is a massive part of context that was left out in what you just said when I was watching it and live tweeting on what he said. He said they want to stay in the past and look at the financial commitments by the Big Ten. And Greg Sankey, who's good at what he does, I guess, exact words, he's not coming up to the times. What? Say what? Yes, you can say that the Big Ten, because there's a narrative that national titles have gone on for who has the best conference. 17 since 2005, Texas, Florida, LSU, Alabama, Georgia, Auburn, all have won national titles. Do what, Joe? If you want to go back to 2000, you can throw Oklahoma in there. So spare me in the 26-year history, really 25 years, the last 25 years of playing, you have Oklahoma, you have Texas, you have LSU, you have Alabama, you have Georgia, you have Auburn, you have Florida. That's seven teams in the last 25 years in the SEC that have won national titles. Illinois can't win a natty. You can't even make it to a playoff. And before you say the bowl games, and before you say you beat Tennessee, Brazel didn't play, the corners didn't play. Left tackle that's now at Kentucky, Joe, help me. Lance Hurd didn't play. You had situations going on at the quarterback position. You had multiple people out with Tennessee. You beat South Carolina. Everybody thinks Beamer should be fired. So I get what you're trying to say about, hey, the conference, since there's been parity, the Big Ten has taken over from a national title perspective. But you failed in the SEC. Before NIL was a thing, when Arkansas legitimately was spending money, remember the great years of Arkansas, Joe? Because I sure as hell do. Those were the years that Arkansas actually was relevant in the SEC. And you put them down on the back burner. Arkansas has not been the same since Brett Bielema ran them into the ground and gained 100 pounds. I'm sorry to say it like that, but that is the truth. He ran Arkansas football into the ground. You got your ass waxed. So then you keep taking these petty shots at the SEC. For what? We have 25 years in the last three Big Ten, which you have the right to do, Don't look down on the SEC and take shots and talk about Greg Sankey has not been innovative. Are you kidding me, Joe? Like, come on. Come on. Your commissioner's out there saying that we talk multiple days, times a day, to make sure that the sport is in the right direction. Taking those stupid-ass petty shots is dumb. It makes you look dumb, especially when you are 11-29 in the SEC. 3 years ago, Joe, he got beat by Mike Leach. God rest his soul. You also got beat by Mike Leach. So don't come out. I don't give a flying Rudy Poo what year it was. I don't give a shit. When you go out there and you talk all kinds of craziness, oh, you look dumb.
Okay, I think that, first of all, to your statement about seven SEC teams having won national titles, it's a larger window. You, in 3 years, have had three different Big Ten teams win the national title, one of which has never considered ever to be a competent football program. Not like hovering around, LSU possibly.
LSU wasn't.
The LSU was never like Indiana. LSU was never. Stop.
Joe, hold on.
LSU had Heisman Trophy winners in their history.
You don't know
Indiana
LSU.
Didn't.
He talked about in 2000. I talked about in 2000. LSU couldn't have winning seasons before Saban got there. Then they went on a dynasty run since 2000. Don't tell me that LSU was considered a national power. They weren't.
I'm not saying that they were a national power, but they had a national championship in 1958, and they had Heisman Trophy winners. Indiana was the doormat of college football. They couldn't capably compete. So you had a team that was the bottom feeder of the conference that was able to win the conference. We don't know what it's going to look like over the next 15, actually it would be 20 years. We could have seven different teams if Oregon were to win one, if USC were to win one. You know, capably we could see maybe a team like Washington potentially win one. That's being a little bit generous of a projection here. But the point is that we don't know what's going to happen in the near future. We could have seven Big Ten teams win it. I also would argue that as unsuccessful as Brett Bielema was, and he was unsuccessful, tremendously unsuccessful, he also was playing in the era that he delivered this whole point on in the SEC when there were juggernauts at the top and it was impossible to compete. If you were in the middle to the back end of the conference, you were getting your ass kicked every single week. There was a huge separation in talent from an Arkansas to an Alabama. But in a conference like the Big Ten, now in the modern college football, it is easier to put together a competitive roster to at least go 8-4. No one's expecting Illinois or Bielema to win the Big Ten, but nobody would have thought that they would be a bowl team every single year, and he was able to turn them into that.
Okay. With that being said, then don't get beat by Indiana 63-10. It's a new era. Parity is closer, right? Parity is closer. He got beat 63-10. Wisconsin this year was a horrible team. Would you agree that Wisconsin was a horrible team this year?
Yeah, they were a bad team.
They lost 27-10. He got beat by Wisconsin. He got railroaded by Ohio State. He got railroaded by Washington. That's in 2025. Let's go to 2024, if this will ever pull up. He got routed by Oregon. He got routed by Penn State. I mean, Joe, yes, he got to 9 wins. To a team in Michigan State that didn't win a game, to Rutgers, who's really bad, to Northwestern that did not win a game, he beat Central Michigan. He beat EIU. So the 9-win season, the year that they beat South Carolina, any team that was remotely close to being ranked, he got absolutely ass-waxed. The last part of the last month of his 9-win season, Rutgers didn't win an in-conference game, neither did Northwestern. And you want to sit here and tell me, yeah, we're really doing good. Brother, you're playing horrible teams. So but I'm sorry. Hold on. I'm sorry. Can you tell me the teams like Georgia that you're really trying to take shots at, Texas, Texas A&M. Joe, you've seen those schedules? Are they playing winless teams in the Big Ten? Michigan State didn't win a game. Rutgers didn't win a game. Northwestern didn't win a game. That's the last month of his season. I'm sorry, Joe, but coming from him, if Cignetti would have said it, I'd be like, SEC is going to kind of take that one on the chin. Not from his ass.
Just because the messenger is not the right person does not mean his message is not, it's not correct. I get that he has not been, he has not been overwhelmingly successful in the Big Ten. He is leading a program that has not been historically that good, except for when Red Grange and Dick Butkus were there. He has at least made them competent, but it doesn't matter that it's him who's saying it.
Joe,
there's still truth to this. There's still truth to his argument that he's bringing up here. The SEC is relying upon its history, but has yet to find a way to keep up with the Big Ten and to win a national championship.
And what happens when they do? God forbid.
Then there'll be a different conversation, but that's a hypothetical.
You have Texas winning it. So if they
win, I didn't say that they're winning a national championship. I have them winning the SEC. God forbid
they win a national title this year. Does the conversation completely flip?
Yeah, but that hasn't happened yet.
On one national.
That's a hypothetical. Okay, the SEC won another hypothetical game.
You just said the entire conversation flips if one SEC team wins it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I don't think that's like some.
I think history matters. I think history.
Not when the landscape of college football has completely changed.
Okay. And when an SEC team wins, remember that conversation. All right, quickly, North Carolina Lombardi. This dude should be fired. There's problems in North Carolina. Your thoughts really quickly.
So he's under investigation. There's not an understood allegation of like what this is related to. They haven't disclosed the specific reason. It is believed to be a complaint filed by a former UNC front office employee, which triggered the investigation. Look, I've interacted with Lombardi before. He came on one of my shows, and despite knowing my co-host at the time, knowing him well, knowing his father well, he was quite rude. He was very difficult, and a lot of people that I've talked to can corroborate that he is not one of the most likable. He's probably one of the most disliked people in the media space when he was in the media and also in the football space. He doesn't have very much success. And this all ties back to Blake. The problems with Belichick and North Carolina imploding. Mm-hmm. The Belichick has not had the foresight necessary to produce a successful college football program. They're not putting together competent rosters because they overpaid Lombardi, who's the highest paid general manager at $1.5 million a year, and he doesn't even know how to act. I'd love to know what the allegation was. I'd be willing to bet it was him being an ass to somebody and somebody filed a complaint and they had to look into it, and they're not feeling like they're getting their $1.5 million worth of his roster building. I'd love to know what comes of this, but this is just par for the course for a team that just turned into a circus and a soap opera rather than an actual football team.
There were many conversations with people in media who know that Mike Lombardi would just not show up. He was supposed to be on shows and he just wouldn't show up. With all due respect, I think this falls on Jim Phillips. Let me tell you why. When the dude went to Saudi Arabia to ask for money, why wasn't he instantly suspended? When he was actively going after private equity, how in the good wide world did North Carolina not suspend him or Jim Phillips? Joe, for real though, I know we try to add entertainment value in this. Come on. Like when he did that, there were no actions, zero actions. I mean, like that is a horrible, horrible situation to be in. You're right. We don't know the allegations to what's going on. If they don't win 9 games, the whole staff needs to be fired. This is too chaotic. Telling his Belichick's girlfriend, telling people in media what they can and can't say. Who are you? With all due respect, you're not hot enough to tell me what I can and can't do. I mean, you're just not. I mean, this dude is 50 years older than you. Your boyfriend is 50 years older than you. And you have this whole situation with Lombardi, and you want me to act here and act civil? You thought that you could parade yourselves out there and you could wear what you wore to the ESPYs and think that that's a good face forward look for the University of North Carolina? Are you kidding me? They better win. He needs Mike Lombardi is not a good human being. At least that's what people in media have always talked about. Joe, I don't know what else you want me to say because I don't know the allegations and I can't react to something that I don't know what's going on. But he's a horrible human. I mean, that is pretty much well known that he has been a horrible human. So I'm not going to respond to an allegation because there's also a part of me that thinks that they could have taken something slight and very light and don't like him and want to put him on pay. First off, he's on paid administrative leave, which means it's probably not as bad as some of us are trying to put out there.
Well, I don't think it was believed that he did something like extremely inappropriate. I don't think that anyone jumped to that conclusion. I really think he was just being an asshole. And I think that somebody probably filed the complaint and that complaint was probably sitting around for a while. And I think that eventually the school realized we're tired of dealing with this guy.
I completely agree. All right. A couple of super chats before we get out of here. How fast do we see Jeremiah Chase commercial? Oh, probably pretty fast. Jeremiah Smith for, yeah. I mean, I would assume pretty fast.
Well, but I just wonder if they even do that because he'd be onto the NFL by the time they'd have time to shoot something like that. I don't know. It'd be cool if he did, though. It'd be pretty cool.
$17 million. You better be there in the morning at 8:30.
I think Myles Garrett did one, or is it a different bank?
I think it's a different bank, right? I don't remember. But I do remember seeing the commercial because remember he was in the cowboy hat, and I was like,
no, it is a Chase Sapphire commercial. So
there you go. Elk says that SoFi patch looks awful on that Notre Dame jersey. I'm sorry, Joe. The Chase blends much better. Penn State gets Wawa. UCF gets Disney World. Ford gets Michigan. I mean,
that sounds like sour grapes. $2 million more.
Watching from a sideline copy, brother, when Jeremiah Smith is going up week two against a DB against Texas, the one thing that you're not going to ask is, that damn jersey patch is really throwing things off for me.
I don't want to hear it from broke people. That's all I'm going to say. I don't want to hear it just because you don't have that extra $3 million. I don't want to hear you complain about the way that it looks, man.
It looks like
$2 million better.
What's the video that the lady walks out the bank? She goes, hide the money, y'all. There's poor people around with your broke ass. Frank Castle with a $10 super chat says, Ole Miss giving LSU more reasons to take their souls. Keep going, Rebels. Soon you'll face a brutal football death. I know we didn't get to it here. Okay.
I'm just saying, give more motivation.
Okay, just keep doing it. Let me ask a question. Are they employees?
Nope.
So can you not break a contract if you haven't been paid?
That's a good point.
It's a really good point.
That's the problem.
It is. He says, win a natty, then talk, Joe. I'm assuming he means Notre Dame. I mean, in fairness, until Ryan Day won one, you were in here every week calling for him to be fired.
That's a good point.
It's a very good point. We'll see y'all soon. Peace.
Are you ready, kids? The SpongeBob SquarePants merchandise is here. And we're talking officially licensed, as seen on apparel and products at the official Paramount shop. Featuring inclusive sizing and gear for fans of all ages. From premium apparel to must-have accessories. Head to ParamountShop.com/SpongeBob and use code PODCAST20 to get 20% off. That's PODCAST20 at ParamountShop.com/SpongeBob. Don't be a Squidward. Grab your gear today.